Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, August 25th. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and with me today, again, producer Mike Roy.
Again? You say that like, really, again?
Well, you know, I've learned not to trust too much in anything, so
oh.
I'm just glad you're still here with me.
And you know me so well.
I'm so, oh, that's sad. We both had sort of vacations this week. I was out of town at the beach, which was, you know, it was questionable, Mike, I'm not going to lie, because it was rainy. So we got, like, we were actually sat on the beach, and we sat down, and 5 minutes later, we had to run inside because it started raining. So, you know, but it was beautiful. It was good to get away. And it's good to be back, too. So I can't complain. I'm well-rested.
There you go.
Yeah, and last night we had an 80th birthday party for my boyfriend's father at our house. So an extra happy birthday to Paul Greenberg. And for those of you listening who want to call in and chat with us, the number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. And, of course, you can tweet your comments to me at Dana H. Barrett. And you can also use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. As always, we've got some interesting clips from this week on BusinessRadioX.com and some headlines. And, you know, the thing is, this week, Mike, I have so many things I want to talk about, I think I'm going to run out of time. So, yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to have to try to, I need a daily show because I just have too much to talk about. You know, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about just a couple headlines that I kind of perused because, you know, we promised to kind of keep people up to date. So that's what we're going to do. And then we're going to get into some other stuff like buying cars and Obamacare, and I got all kinds of stuff I want to talk about today. First of all, a story caught my eye just because I thought it was sort of interesting. Delta is scheduled to buy 19,000 new AT&T Windows 8 phones for its flight attendants. Now, I thought this was just kind of interesting because the goal here is that they can use them on the flights to actually take money from people, you know, to pay for drinks and services and things like that, print receipts, read coupons that people can get on the flights with certain coupons, and they'll be able to use their cell phones to read that, things like that. So it's for business purposes. But it's hard to separate these toys in our lives, business and pleasure. So I guess when I read this, my one concern, and this could be me showing my age and my crotchety old personism, but I wonder if we're just going to see the tops of their heads like we do with everybody else in the world now as they spend their entire flight with their eyes focused on their screen, on their new Windows 8 phones. That's all I wonder. I wonder what the policies are going, you know, for flight attendants. You know, we were at this beautiful resort this weekend, and I was coming out. Now, this was an independent resort, so it wasn't like Ritz-Carlton. It wasn't a chain or anything like that. Now, I know the Ritz-Carltons will train their people. They're very, very highly trained on guest interaction. So, you know, when you walk into the front desk area of a Ritz-Carlton, they are trained to greet you when you reach a certain distance away from them, and it's a pretty far distance. But this was an individual property, so I don't think any such training existed. So I was walking down the hall, and this housekeeper came out of a back room somewhere, and she was on her cell phone, and she was just rambling on her cell phone. I mean, she wasn't being obnoxious or anything, but she was talking about her health problems and going to the doctor, and I was catching the whole thing. And, you know, she greeted me, you know, she sort of said, hi, how are you? You know, and on she went. But I was sort of thinking like, no, not appropriate. Like, you're in your uniform, you're on the property, like, you probably shouldn't talk on the cell phone except for maybe in, let's say, a designated area, employee break room or something like that, you know? So I thought it was a little odd, and I hope we don't see things like that on Delta flights now that they're getting these fancy new phones. You know, and I guess part of the equation is always, you know, what's the saying, something about, you know, if the parents are away, the children will play or whatever. I'm getting that saying completely wrong. And you can call and correct me if you want, 404-231-1190. But the point being that when you're a flight attendant on a Delta flight, there's no supervisor on the flight with you. I mean, there might be like a team leader of the flight attendants, but the boss is not watching. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
When the cat's away, the mice will
play. There we
go.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm good for something here.
When the cat's away, the mice will play. Thank you so much for that. Because you know what? That was going to bug me for days on end. Does that not kill you when you can't think of an expression? I wasn't even close.
I probably, if I didn't remember, I probably would have texted you like Wednesday night right. or something. Like, oh, by the way, that's what the expression
and
is.
And it's so funny because that's probably what people are going to tweet me about now, right? When the cat's away, the mice will play. I love it. All right. Well, thank you for that. Anyway, interesting to see. If you're on a Delta flight in the next several months and you happen to notice a lot of cell phone usage by the flight attendants, give me a buzz. Give me a tweet. Love to hear what you think about it. Okay. In Atlanta, I mentioned this story on my Good Morning Atlanta show several months ago because I like to sort of keep up with development and you know, new stores coming in and out, new restaurants, things like that. Restoration Hardware is about ready to get construction underway, I believe, at the former ESPN zone here in Buckhead. So the demolition is done, and they're about ready to start actually building up this brand new fancy doodle. That's a very technical term, by the way, fancy doodle. Restoration Hardware store. So I'll be looking forward. I like that store. I'll be looking forward to seeing the new facility. However, I will say I have heard some complaints about sometimes the customer service at that store. So, you know, sometimes a fancy plant is not enough. You have to actually back it up with good service. I think they have good products and they have pretty stores, but they're expensive. So, all right, I want to move on to our first clip because it's sort of relevant to sort of knowing what's happening in our city. And, you know, entrepreneurship is a really good alternative for a lot of people nowadays with the economy being how it is. Even in a good economy nowadays, I think so much has changed in the job market that a lot of people do turn towards entrepreneurship. Well, on this week's Results Matter show, which was on Tuesday and hosted by Stone Payton and Lee Cantor on BusinessRadioX.com, they had on their guest Bob Johnson, who is a part of an organization called Club E, which is they call it an on-earth, I like that, as opposed to online, on-earth and online network, which brings together entrepreneurs, experts, and executives to sort of discover new opportunities and grow business. And I think the real idea of it is growing entrepreneurship. And they have a big brand new facility in College Park, and he's sort of talking about in this clip about this new facility in College Park. And I thought it was just sort of good to know that this is there and this is happening. So take a listen to this clip.
So we renovated an 11,000 square foot building. It's 100 years old, and tell me it was a pain all the way through. We replaced everything. I mean, it's went from, you know, it's a Taj Mahal now for College Park. I couldn't borrow any money from the banks. I took it to the bank. I said, look, I said, you know, I got $500,000 in this deal right now. I'd like to borrow some money. I said, well, you know, you have the most expensive building on Main Street, so we don't have any comps. Right. I said, yeah, so I am the comp, you know. So
they didn't go for that logic?
No, they didn't go for the logic. So, you know, bankers have their little book. AD can verify that. You know, they don't do it. So basically I put $1 million of my own money, you know, cash, into the business to get it to where we want it, to make a statement, to create something that can be a catalyst for
But this is a public-private enterprise, right?
Right. The public side of it came up with $150,000, and right. I came up with $1.2 million.
Right. That so, sounds about know. Right.
So they got good leverage on their money, let's say that. But they were great. I mean, the city cooperated. They fully got it. You know, we're a small enough city in College Park that we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And we have 13,000 people in College Park. You know, we have 12, 13% unemployment, whoever you want to believe. But we have, you know, 30-40% of hopelessness of people down there to think there's no opportunity for them. They're in an inner city situation. They have a lot of, you know, 80% of our single mothers or single dads that are raising kids. There's a lot of challenges there outside of, I mean, the social challenges are as great as the entrepreneurial challenges. And if you don't deal with those, you're never going to be successful in creating an entrepreneurial community.
All right, we are coming back from that clip. That, again, was Bob Johnson of Club E, which is an entrepreneurial organization in College Park. And I thought it was interesting, first of all, just to know that there is investment going on in that community and that, you know, one of the things that sort of I think is happening is that there's, you know, an encouragement to try entrepreneurship when other things are not working for you. And there's lots of different kinds of, you don't necessarily have to run a huge multi-million dollar company to be an entrepreneur. There are a lot of small businesses. There are a lot of work from home sort of businesses. There are a lot of flexible businesses in terms of how much time you have to put in. There are part-time businesses, full-time businesses. And I think having something of your own, some people are just better at that. I know for myself, I am better at that. I am not great with the bosses. I don't know about Mike's a good guy. He can handle the bosses. I can't handle the bosses.
So now I'm a good guy. After you were trashing me earlier in the show.
No, today you're like, so far you're batting 1,000 today.
Oh.
But I think, you know, it all comes down to, in a way, I don't mean to, I know this is going to sound kind of pushy of me, but I think it's kind of about how hungry you are, you know? And I want to kind of lead that into a conversation about this car buying process that I've been involved in. I've decided I need a new car for a variety of reasons, and I haven't bought a new car for 6 or 7 years now, 7 years, I guess. And it's one of those things that we, generally speaking, most of us don't do it that often. You only buy a new car every couple of years at the minimum, right? And so none of us are really very good at it, I don't think. And we all have sort of a bad impression of the process because it is a giant pain in the tushy. I'm just saying. Yeah, it's a huge pain. And I think it's gotten worse since the last time I tried to buy a car. We have a lot of advantages now that we didn't have before in terms of research, online research. It's very easy right now to find out sort of what a car is worth. You know, Kelley Blue Book and Edmunds and all these places where you can research cars. And it's much easier to sell your own car now with all the online, you know, Craigslist and Auto Trader and all these kind of things. So, but it's also gotten worse. And I think the tricksterism has gotten worse. And I also think that to some extent, the people that are selling you cars have gotten very lazy. So I want to talk some more about that, but we're going to take a short break first. And when we come back, more complaining about car buying. We'll be right back.
Arthur Brooks of the American Enterprise Institute for townhall.com. As President Obama moves on in his second term, we can see the evidence mounting that his policies are hurting the very people they were designed to help. But it shouldn't be that much of a surprise. When we make labor markets more rigid, and we make it harder for people to start businesses, and when we put regulatory barriers in front of entrepreneurs, guess who's going to get hurt? Rich people? No. It's the poor people who are going to get thrown out of work. The trouble is, we tend to talk about economic growth as if it were about the money. But economic activity, free enterprise, in a free society is about the morality of letting people on the bottom rise. Our country desperately needs more pro-growth politicians who are also pro-morality politicians for the most vulnerable in society. I'm Arthur Brooks.
If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call nonprofit Trinity Debt Management today at 800-936-5348 or go to mydebthasmedown.com.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids, you can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm still Dana Barrett, and Mike Roy is still sitting here with me because he is a good guy, and he hangs out with me every Sunday, and I like it. I appreciate it.
Well, it's not like I have much else to do.
Oh, no. He's not kidding. Like, he gets paid to be my friend, and I'm okay with that. You can call us here at the studio, 404-231-1190. You can tweet at Dana H. Barrett. You can use hashtag BIZ Radio, Biz Radio. Or you can just sit back and listen and enjoy the show. Whatever works for you. Okay, so we were talking about car buying before the break, and I want to continue this because this is one of the things I've experienced. First of all, I want to say, for the record, I have tried to do this car buying experience this time around, like per the Clark Howard set of instructions, right? So I went to, the first thing I did was I went to a credit union and I applied for a loan through a credit union. So fine, that takes the financing piece out of the equation. Theoretically allowing me to negotiate on price as opposed to just getting swindled by their financing deal. Okay, fine. So done, did that, check. Then I did all my research online. I test drove a bunch of different cars and I went to a bunch of different dealerships trying to narrow down what I wanted. And I experienced things like this. Overall, I was saying to Mike over the commercial break, I know this sounds hard to believe because if you're not in the middle of buying a car right now, you probably have something in your mind from what happened to you 5 or 6 or 7 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever. But my experience this go round is that the salespeople, we always said that they were sort of smarmy and, you know, you think of like a used car salesman as like sort of the cheesiest of the cheesy salesmen. And I think they're trying to rebrand themselves in a way and back off. But in my opinion, what they've done is back so far off that they don't even seem like they want my business. So, for example, I went to a dealership that I'm not going to name. And because I'm not going to trash anybody in particular because I did find this at more than one dealership. But I went back to this dealership multiple times over a 6-month period. So obviously I was interested in that particular brand of car. And I wasn't really committed about whether I wanted new or used. And the salesperson there just didn't care. It was a woman and she would take, when I finally got serious, I called her and I said, okay, I'm serious now. I'm going to buy a car. I got a loan approved. This is the model I want. This is what I'm looking for. Don't really care if it's new or used, but these are sort of the features I want, whatever. And it would take her 48 hours to respond to an email. Where I would have, if she had responded to me in a 24-hour period, I probably would have bought the car from her. But I just found this over and over again. And then things happened like this. Like I got an email. I gave my name and address, my name and email address, first name, last name, email address, written down. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and handed it to the guy. And my email address has my middle initial attached to my first name. So Dana H. So the guy keeps writing me emails spelling my first name, D-A-N-A-H. But I didn't write that on the piece of paper. That's just plumb laziness on his part. And I, not only that, I wrote back and I signed my name the way it's actually spelled. And my signature line has my name the way it's actually spelled. And he wrote me a second email. Hi, Dana, D-A-N-A-H. No, no, sir, no. That's not my name. And if you want me to buy a car from you, I would appreciate it if you would at least make the effort to get my name right in an email.
Well, do you think they legitimately don't care, or do you think they're trying too hard to dial back their image of the aggressive type?
I don't know. I don't know if the cars I'm interested in are so popular that they just sell themselves, and so those particular salespeople just don't have to care. I don't know what the deal is. But I will say this. I'm going to give a shout-out to the one sales guy that I, you know, that was hungry. Like, he's doing a good job for me, and that's Anoop down at Nally BMW indicator. Now, I'm not buying a BMW. I'm buying a used car, so I just want everybody to be aware that I'm not a total spoiled brat. Not that you're a spoiled brat if you drive a BMW. You're not. But I happen to be buying a used car. I found it online. It happened to be at Nally BMW indicator, and Anoop is hooking me up. And this guy is actually not cheesy or smarmy, but hungry. And there's a difference. You know, he wasn't super aggressive in my face. On the other hand, he responded to my emails in a timely manner. When he was off doing something else and couldn't respond to my emails, he made sure that someone else responded to my emails, which was great. I had an experience over email where I found a car, a used car that I wanted at another dealership in South Atlanta, and I sent the guy an email saying, what's your best price? And we went back and forth literally for the entire day before he told me the car was manual transmission, and I don't want a manual transmission. And their advertisement on their site said it was automatic. And so
that's not good.
Right.
At all.
I mean, is that not lazy? Like, come
that's
on.
That's lazy, and that's definitely something that you should find out about early on when you're negotiating.
So lazy. So annoying. Right. So now I got really smart. Every car, I'm like, okay, I need to know all the features in this car. What is it? Is it auto? Is it manual? Does it have this, that, the other? Anyway, Anoop down at Nally is hooking me up, and he's like, he literally took the car for me and drove it from Decatur to Roswell to my mechanic to have my mechanic check it out because I was going to be out of town on vacation. So that's good service. He returns my calls, he returns my text messages. You know, when I call him, he knows who it is. He's obviously programmed my number into his phone, so he answers like, hey, Dana, you know what? That's a guy I want to deal with. I would go back to him. I obviously would talk about him in a positive way and send people to him because I'm doing that right now on the radio. So there you go. Now the deal is not done, so Anoop still has a chance to screw me over. But hopefully,
don't say that.
Hopefully he won't.
No.
And we'll be in good shape and I'll have a new car next week. We'll see. The other thing I'm trying to do is sell my car on my own, which is making me very nervous, but because I've never done that before. So this will be the first used car for me, the first time selling a car online, the first time getting a loan through a credit union. I feel like I should get a little Clark Howard Gold Star seal of approval for this whole process. I'm quite proud. All right, let's move on. I do want to talk about Obamacare because it's all over the headlines right now. It's like taking over all the local headlines. All you read about is the different companies and the effects that Obamacare, or otherwise known as the Affordable Care Act, is going to have on companies, on individuals, and it's very confusing, I think. And so I want to kind of dig into it a little bit and sort of talk about some of the details of what is in the Affordable Care Act. But first, I want to back it up a little bit and do some more Business Radio X business, which is to kind of share with you some more clips from the week at Business Radio X. And the next clip I have for you is from the Midtown Business Radio show, which also aired on Tuesday. And on the show this week was a woman named Shirley Borgie, and she is a managing partner with the Gunner Group and also the interim executive director of the Hispanic Health Coalition of Georgia. And that's the part she's talking about in this clip. And the reason I found this clip to be interesting, and you know, you can of course tune into the entire interview with her on midtownbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. You can listen to the podcast version of the show and get the whole interview. But she's talking about the work she does with the Hispanic Health Coalition of Georgia, and it sort of gets her, she gets asked about being passionate about her work. And I just think that's something that I really always like to focus on people finding things to do that they're passionate about. So I want to play this clip for you, and then we'll talk a little bit about finding passion in your work.
We serve the community. Mm-hmm. We educate the community. We do not represent a company. We do not represent a third party.
You're everybody's friend.
Correct.
Right?
Or we try to be.
Try to be, right?
But you must really sleep so well at night. I mean, I can tell this has got to be very rewarding work for you.
Absolutely. And the dynamics of our team. Passion is one thing, but I find it perfectly orchestrated through compassion. And when you go to bed at night, or more importantly, when you look in the mirror before you go to bed at night, you have to be the best person you can be. Mm-hmm. And to look in the mirror and be proud, just as the rest of my team and the board of directors are, it's a great way to wake up in the morning. It makes you have an extra little vroom in your step.
That's right.
All right, again, that was Shirley Borgie, the interim executive director of the Hispanic Health Coalition of Georgia. And the reason I really wanted to bring that clip up is in a very short clip, I think that clip was under a minute, she managed to mention passion for what you do, team, and compassion for the people you serve, which I think is really an interesting combination sort of ingredients for many people for the perfect career, because I think it takes a lot of people a lot of time in their lives to figure out what they're passionate about. You're asked as a young person coming out of high school to decide what you want to do when you grow up right away. You know, 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, you're making a decision about where you're going to go to college. And then within, assuming you go to college, and then when you're at college, you're pretty early on asked to make a decision about your major. So you're sort of expected to know what you're passionate about at that age, which to some extent is ridiculous because you haven't even experienced the world yet. You don't even really know what's out there. And so you pick something, I think almost by like, you sort of just pick whatever's pops up and interests you because your parents did it or you read about it or your guidance counselor suggested it or your friends are doing it or whatever the case may be, or, you know, and I think for the reality of that is that most people, it takes a lot longer to figure out what you really care about and what you're interested in and what work actually, dare I say, turns you on. And I think a very important component of work for a lot of people is who you're working with, so team, and also who you're serving. I don't necessarily want, I worked one time, and we're going to take a break in just a minute, but I worked at a beach club when I was in college for serving, you know, as a waitress for very wealthy people. And I had to wear like the traditional old school waitress uniform, you know, white dress with the green apron and a little hat and all this business. And it was so degrading, honestly.
Did they give you the rollerblades too?
I did not have rollerblades. It was like,
it wasn't the old fashioned drive through.
It was right out of like this was in the late 80s, but it really felt like it was right out of a 60s beach club movie, you know? And like, I lived in a cabana and I served people on the beach and at this beach club, like on a dock, you know. But it was like, I like waitressing. It's actually kind of fun. it's hard work. Let me not confuse anybody. It's hard work. And I'm okay with serving people. But in that environment, I didn't want to serve those people. So I didn't have any compassion for those people. So I think, you know, all of those ingredients, passion, compassion, and team are huge in finding what you're passionate about and what you want to do with your career. So let's take a quick break, and we'll have another clip on that same topic when we come back.
Tom Keen, Sarah Eisen, and Ken Pruitt have the economy and the markets under surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on Biz 1190. Always right on the money.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
The concept of having annuities as part of your investment strategy isn't as simple as it sounds. You need to be informed about the options annuities may provide and where they may fit in your broader investment strategy. Do you really understand the role annuities play in your portfolio? RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free consultation to review the annuities you own or may be considering. If you're unsure about benefits, risks, or fees of your fixed, indexed, immediate, or variable annuity, schedule a complimentary double check. Contact an RJL Wealth Management advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or go to annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Thank you for making my dream a reality and publishing my very first book.
Karen Notner is author of Is Jesus Your Pearl?
You encouraged me, you laughed with me, and you held my hand through the entire process.
Karen's publisher is Zulon Press. Do you dream about publishing? Make the dream real with America's fastest growing Christian book publisher. Your free publishing guide is waiting at ChristianPublishing.com.
Thank you so much to all the wonderful professionals at Zulon Press.
Visit Zulon Press at ChristianPublishing.com.
Who is teaching our teachers? Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Why has American education hit rock bottom? The latest issue of Town Hall magazine is filled with answers, from an eye-opening piece about the leftist influence on the teachers teaching your kids to an in-depth analysis of the Common Core, plus a great piece on how to know if you're attending a liberal college. Get timely, thoughtful reporting every month that you subscribe to Town Hall magazine. Plus, a special offer waiting for you at townhallmagazine.com. townhallmagazine.com.
Biz 1190. Weather.
A beautiful end of the weekend. A lot of sunshine. Very pleasant this afternoon. A high of 82 degrees. The humidity staying low throughout the day. Tonight, fairly comfortable. Low down to 63 under a partly cloudy sky. Sunshine will mix with some clouds tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But we'll turn progressively warmer each day as we get up to 83 tomorrow, 87 on Tuesday, and up to 89 by Wednesday. Partly sunny on Thursday, and it will turn more humid. And we may even see a shower or thunderstorm by Thursday with a high around 90. I'm Mike Kim with the meteorologist Brian Thompson for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, producer Mike Roy, pushing the buttons for me today, keeping me in line, you know, making sure I don't go off on a tangent too far anyway. He lets me go for a little while, and then I get the look.
I control what you...
That's right.
Well, I don't control what you say. I control what you say on the air.
That's right. You can always cut me
bum,
off,
bum,
right?
Bum, bum, bum.
It's like my friend at the bar taking the drinks away. That's you, Mr. No Fun Nick.
It's your show, but I'm in control.
That's right, the maestro. All right, so the number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. If you feel like giving us a call, you can also tweet at Dana H. Barrett and hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. So before the break, we were talking about, I aired a clip from the Midtown Business Radio show on Business Radio X, and we were talking a little bit about sort of finding passion in your work. And I've talked about this on the show before, because it is something that I like to... talk about, think about, you know, I'm not that young. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm young-ish. I'm not really that young anymore. And it's taken me quite a long time to figure out what I really love to do and what are the components of that. Because let's say, for example, you know that you're good at math and science and you want to be a doctor and you are passionate about medicine and you're passionate about helping people. Well, that's all well and good. But that doesn't mean there aren't certain kinds of medicine that you would absolutely hate being a part of. You know, so the only way to really know which specialty and which type of, like, maybe you would love being the action and the fast paced, you know, ER doctor world, or maybe you would hate that and you would really like to be a family doctor in a sort of private practice in a small town. I mean, there's a lot. Just because you're passionate about medicine doesn't mean you really know what you want your career to look like and who you want your, keeping the doctor example, who you want your patients to be, who you want to serve. And so a lot of that, I think, comes from being out in the world and getting to sort of try things, trial and error, sort of taking a path you think you'll like and seeing if you like it and staying open enough and flexible enough to make a change if you don't like it. Because that's, if you get yourself too locked in, sometimes it's hard to make a change. And, you know, also sometimes you get worried about the idea of failure. So you get locked into a career choice and you say, well, you know what? I went down this road of doctor, working in a big hospital, climbing up the ranks, or, you know, lawyer at a big law firm, climbing up the ranks, and I don't like it. I still want to be a lawyer, but I want to go be a lawyer in a small town, or I want to have just a one person firm and hang on a shingle and help, you know, do a lot of pro bono or whatever the case may be. And so, but you don't, I think people get afraid to then take a step back financially, and they get afraid to take a step back to go back to their families and say, you know what? This high-paying job that I'm doing isn't really my passion. I'm going to switch and do something else. I think that's hard for people. So I, you know, like to encourage people to do as much of that as they can.
Well, any kind of change is difficult to some degree for everybody.
Agreed.
And some people are so afraid of changing, even if they're not happy with what they're doing, that they never go through with it.
Yeah. Being afraid of change is huge. And we've talked about this, I think, even on this show before. That's really all in your head. Because, you know, the reality is that you're going to experience change no matter whether you instigate it or the world instigates it for you. You know, you can't really help when sickness hits. You can't really, you know, if you get into someone hits you, it's not even your fault. You get in a car accident, you get hit. You know, things happen that require you to make change.
That's life.
That's life. And in your job too. And so if you're going to spend 40 plus hours a week, which is a large percentage of your life, doing something that you're doing just because you're afraid to make change, no. You need to think that through and really, one of the things that, as I was saying, I mean, for me, it's taken me many years of trying a lot of different careers and a lot of different jobs. And I've always been sort of open to that. So I've literally tried things here and there. You know, I tried writing an article, many years ago. I wrote an article for the Business Chronicle because I wanted to see what that felt like. And you know what I found out, Mike?
What is that?
I really liked seeing my name in print. But I really didn't care for the process of writing the article all that much. Mm. So that's not the job for me. Because the part of it that I liked was so small in comparison to the amount of effort that I would have to put in, it wasn't for me. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't do that as part of something else, and I do sort of like writing to some extent, but doing that every day, that wasn't for me.
Well, I think it's important to try new things all the time, because you never know when something that you decide to try out really you develop a passion for all of a sudden, so
right.
that could develop a change later in life.
I also think it's interesting to sort of focus on what you do in your free time and think about how you could maybe take some of those things that you really enjoy doing in your spare time and turn them into work, because that's often possible, even though you might not think it. If you really break them down into their smallest parts, what do you enjoy about it? sometimes you can find those things in your work life. And, you know, sometimes you can't. You have to just have them be a hobby, but sometimes you really can. Anyway, you don't always have the opportunity, especially if you're young, to experience everything and try everything. And so this next clip that I have from Business Radio X is talking about sort of finding what you're interested in and passionate about in terms of giving back, in terms of nonprofits, in terms of social enterprise. I think that's another thing that is that young people don't really, you sort of know what touches you. For example, if someone in your family had cancer, then you might be passionate about participating in a cancer charity. But maybe you really don't know what's going on in Darfur, and you don't, you know, you sort of know that you should care, but you don't really know if you do care. So anyway, this organization that was featured on the Results Matter show last week is called Giving Point, and it's designed to sort of help young people find what they're passionate about in terms of giving back, and it sort of fits into what we're talking about. So I thought it would be a good clip for us to play here on the show today. So take a listen.
We are a 501c3 youth development nonprofit, and I'm loving all this entrepreneurial discussion because we seek to inspire and motivate young people to get involved in community service, and we hope to develop the next generation of social entrepreneurs through our program. We have about 7,000 students on our network right now. In 4 years, they've logged about 200,000 hours of community service, spun off 4 operating nonprofits, wow, and created a $2 million impact here in Atlanta. So we're really excited to be here and share the good news of Giving Point, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, what was the impetus of this? How did it begin?
It's a great story. So our chairman of our board and founder, Derek Smith, was the chairman and CEO at Choice Point. And Choice Point sold in 2008, mm-hmm, and he had some extra resources, of course, at that point. And he gave each of his young adult children, they were 18 and 22 at the time, he gave both of them $10,000 cash and said, I want you to invest this in an organization that you're passionate about. Take your social passion, put this money towards that. And he watched both of his children, though very bright, he watched them struggle. He watched them struggle to create meaningful connections with nonprofits. Had they told the nonprofits they had $10,000 to give them, I'm sure their experience would have been different. But he watched them struggle to really understand their own social passion. They had volunteered with him and his company most of their teenage life, but didn't really know what they were passionate about. And he started to do some research to understand what was out there for young people, for students, high school students, college students, to understand social issues, connect with nonprofits, and really get involved in a meaningful way that they were excited about, rather than student volunteers just being free labor. And he found there was nothing out there, and so he and some of the Choice Point executives got together and built a network called Giving Point. And it was an online network similar to Facebook. Students create their profile. They take quizzes to understand social issues. They take a Find Your Passion quiz to connect with different causes. And the end result, hopefully, is that young people will know what they care about, and they will have fun giving back and become lifelong givers.
All right. Again, that was the Results Matter show on Business Radio X. That was Miranda Bryan talking about the Giving Point organization. You can find out more about them by going to givingpoint.org. And you can hear more of that interview by going to resultsmatter.businessradiox.com. And again, I thought what was interesting about that is that there was sort of a recognition on the part of the guy that started the organization that young people, and I'm defining young people really broadly, people coming into the workforce, let's say, coming out of college in their early 20s, into their mid to late 20s probably, want to give back. That's really sort of the in thing right now, and I don't mean to belittle it in any way, but they really want to. And, you know, it would be it's good for them to sort of know what's out there and the different ways to give back. And that's another thing. There are a lot of ways to participate and to help, and they're not always that obvious. So I think it's kind of interesting that there's an organization out there to sort of help people find what they care about. And again, it's called Giving Point, givingpoint.org. So I thought that was kind of cool. Before we go to the break, I just want to talk a little bit, just for a minute, about Obamacare. We might pick it up again after the break, depending on how fired up I get. We'll see, Mike. But literally all of the headlines I'm seeing right now are about Obamacare, and they're on both sides of the issue, of course. I don't know why there's always two sides. There really should probably be 10 sides to this issue, but we'll say two for the sake of discussion here. And one of the things that bothers me, not about Obamacare, but just about the way we handle issues as a society right now, is that if you miss the beginning of the story, even a little bit, if you miss the first news break, the first headline, the beginning, you really don't know what's going on. And a lot of times they don't even fill you in on what's going on, even in that first hour. They sort of come into a story as if you should already know what it is. And then they start the yelling and the arguing, and they pick up a point of the story and they divide. So the right says this and the left says this, and the right doesn't want Obamacare because it's expensive, but the left thinks we should have Obamacare because it's going to help people. And you really have no idea what's in Obamacare. You have no idea. All you know is your team picked this side, so I'm going to go with my team and I'm going to go over there and I'm going to be angry, or I'm going to go over here and be angry, right? So I want to dig into a little bit after the break what's happening and what some of these things are in Obamacare. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Obamacare and the soapbox right after this.
Heart disease remains a leading killer of Americans and significantly affects quality of life. I'm Jimmy Johnson, and like someone you probably know, I have heart disease. Today I'm able to do what I love, but just a few short years ago, heart disease could have kept me from the sidelines. I talked to my doctor, and working with an interventional cardiologist, we decided on a stent. I've never looked back. As a survivor, I'm urging you to get treated and live well. For more information, visit secondscount.org.
Join us for the third annual Celebrate Freedom 5 and 10K, brought to you by Marina's 24/7 Shapes Me Shapewear, ChristianRunners.org, and Sky Zone Indoor Trampoline Park. Saturday, August 31st at Jim R. Miller Park. Get all the details and sign up now at CelebrateFreedomRun.com.
Someday, I'll drive to the airport, pick a flight, and just take off.
Someday, I'll have my own vineyard. Someday, I'll make it past the finish line of a marathon.
Someday, I'll drive my very own Mercedes-Benz.
Someday is today. With our certified pre-owned sales event going on right now, you can own the car of your dreams. And thanks to exceptional 1.99% financing on select models now through September 3rd, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio.
Someday, I'll stop saying someday.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz pre-owned sales event, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
At RJL Wealth Management, we believe effective financial planning requires regular communication and ongoing oversight. So if someone sold you an annuity contract, ask yourself, when was the last time you heard from them? Instead of waiting and wondering, double-check your annuities and stay informed about your options at no cost. RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free analysis of your fixed, equity indexed, or variable annuities with an RJL Wealth Management advisor. Schedule an annuity double check. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or request an appointment at annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
Hi, I'm Dana Barrett. Join me every Sunday at noon for the Business Radio X Week in Review. With all the information coming at us every day, it's easy to miss something. But not to worry, I've got you covered. Every Sunday, I'll catch you up on what's happening in Atlanta and introduce you to the innovators who move Atlanta's bottom line. All right, I'm back after talking about myself, apparently.
We get to hear that music.
I know, I love
extended.
It. You are listening to the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. Mike Roy producing in the house. And we were before the break talking a little bit about Obamacare. And, you know, I have to say, I am guilty, as I think a lot of people are, in probably just, I'm going to come up with a new term. Actually, it's probably not a new term, but like of headline surfing. Because, you know, you read the headlines. There's so much information coming at us from all sides. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show. And you can't take time to read every story. So you kind of surf the headlines, right? And you figure out which story you want to dig in and read more about. But if you just surf the headlines on Obamacare and form your opinions without digging in, you're really maybe missing some things, and they could be things that could hurt you or could help you depending on your situation. And so I'm going to read some of the headlines, just the headlines, just because I just think it's interesting the impression you get. Here's one. Delta warns Obamacare will cost it $100 million in 2014. So if I read that headline, my immediate response is, oh, crap, the cost of the flights are going to go up. That's the first thing I think. The second thing I think is, you know, oh, this program's not good for corporations. It's too much burden on the corporations to cover the cost of healthcare, and it's going to cause other problems in the economy, right? So, but I didn't read the story. I'm just telling you what I'm getting from that headline. Then I see another headline, Forever 21, which is a clothing store, reducing work hours due to Obamacare. So again, I think, okay, corporate America's suffering, and they're going to pass that suffering on to their employees. They're cutting their hours, blah, 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 right? But let me just tell you that I chose to then dig into that particular story, Forever 21, reducing work hours. And the reality is that they're reducing the work hours to 29.5 hours a week so that the person is not considered full-time, which is considered 30 hours is considered full-time. And so they're going to reduce people's hours to 29.5, but so they don't have to, you know, pay them benefits, right? But here's the thing. They've been doing this all along. This is not new. So you can blame this on Obamacare if you want to, and there are some changes that are causing companies to rethink how they're doing things, but a lot of companies, where I remember this from years ago looking for work, well, you know, if you work 30 hours or less, you don't get benefits. That's not new. So anyway, just kind of interesting to sort of dig in. And there are some interesting things that are part of Obamacare that, you know, again, if you just headline surf, you might not realize. One of the reasons that they're talking about Obamacare costing $100 million at Delta is because kids under 26 years old are now allowed to stay on their parents' plans that whole time until they're 26. Well, that wasn't the case before. I think it may have been 18 before. And then through college, I think there were some exceptions if you were in college. But, and again, I don't really know because I haven't dug into all of that. But I know one of the, you know, parts of Obamacare, or again, the Affordable Care Act, is that kids under 26 may remain covered on their parents' plans. Well, what that means is that companies, large companies who do cover families, will have to continue to cover those kids. And what they typically do is they don't take on all that cost. The company doesn't, like Delta wouldn't pay for the entire cost of the kid, but they subsidize it. So if they're paying those subsidies for an additional, you know, whether it's 5 or 8 years per kid, I'm not sure, that's expensive. But they also don't have to subsidize it. I think they have to provide it. They have to allow it, and they can ask the employees to pay for it. I'm not really sure how all that works. The point is, I think, that I'm making before I put this aside, because I really think we could talk about Obamacare for days. We could pick one feature of Obamacare and literally talk about it for days to try to really understand who it helps, who it hurts. I'll mention this one and then I'll move on. There's this whole idea of an insurance exchange that's part of Obamacare, and part of the whole deal is that there are a lot of people in the country who are not insured at all, right? So now they're saying we're going to create these exchanges where people who are not insured by their employer can go online and compare plans and get coverage, and they can't be denied for pre-existing conditions, and there are affordable plans. And I have to say, as somebody who's, you know, self-employed and who pays for my own insurance, I'm curious. I'm interested to go onto that exchange and see, because I pay quite a bit of money every month for health insurance, and maybe there's a better deal for me now. And I also want to say that the big insurance companies are not all opposed to this. Like, some of them are actually embracing these exchanges, and they're realizing that, for example, in Georgia, there are 900,000 uninsured people who are going to be looking for insurance come October when these exchanges open. The other thing I want to say about this before we move on is there apparently are already scam artists creating fake exchanges where they're asking you for personal information, social security numbers, things like that, and they're ripping you off and stealing your identity and all kinds of delightful, wonderful, happy little things like that. So be careful when you're going online. Make sure that you're on a valid site And when I find out what some of those are, and also just be aware that they don't exist yet. That's going to be in October when that rolls out. So if you're finding one now, it's not real. So always be very wary about where you share your personal information, and be careful about that. But I'm very curious. So I'm going to sort of follow up on this and follow through for myself, just looking at rates and seeing what's out there in these exchanges. Also, critics of Obamacare, I do understand it's a very expensive program. And the taxpayers will be paying for that. And so you get the same argument you get whenever taxpayers are asked to pay for a program, that the wealthiest people pay for it and they don't benefit from it. So, you know, the conversation is to be continued. But I encourage everyone to sort of, you know, Google it, really, and dig around. Don't just headline surf and get angry. You know, dig in and read some of the articles, because I think you'll find that there are things you maybe thought were worse than they are. And there might be some things that could benefit you, your family, your children. So I think it's worth a look. All right. Time to pull out the soapbox. We've got a couple minutes left. And I have to say that a few weeks ago on one of our previous rants, if you will, I talked about sort of these made up terms, these sort of made up technical attributes that products have that they use to sell you their product, like the EcoBoost in a car, or the smart tube technology, or whatever. So a girlfriend of mine, Debbie Smolovitz, sent me some pictures online. She listened to the show, and she sent me a picture, and I'm going to post these on my Facebook page. You can find that, and here's my shameless self-plug, at facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett.
I was kind of waiting for your shameless self-plug. It took you a while.
I know. 56 minutes in, and I'm just now getting to it. It's kind of impressive, huh? Anyway, she sent me one picture of a tissue box, tissues with sneeze shield. Tissues with... isn't a tissue a sneeze shield? Does it actually have sneeze shield? What does that mean? And frankly, let's face it, it does not mean anything. It's ridiculous. The other one she sent me, which was pretty funny, is toilet paper with clean stretch. Like one word, clean stretch, and trademarked. Clean stretch, my friends in Radioland, is not a thing. It's not a thing. It doesn't exist. Not a thing. All right. So thank you to Debbie for providing that little laugh throughout the earlier in the week. And I want to say also that if you do go to my Facebook page, again, facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett, shameless plug number two, and you want to post some pictures of products that you see with made-up technical attributes, I would love to see them, because I know they're out there, lots of them. I was looking at some lotion the other day, and it was lotion that was regenerating lotion. I don't know what it regenerates. I don't think I want to know what it regenerates. It's a little creepy and scary. You know what I had? You know what's really funny? We're almost out of time. The music is playing, which I love, the jazzy music. And I had a whole other rant. So next week, I need a daily show. I had a whole other rant that I was going to get to, and I don't have time for it now. And it was all about passwords, and I'll bring it next week.
The hour just flies by, doesn't it?
It really flies by, because I love spending time with all of you. All of you out there, and my friend Mike here. So this has been the Business Radio X Week in Review. Lots of great shows coming up next week on businessradiox.com. So check that out. And I hope you have a great week and do lots of business. And we'll see you next week.